You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. My name is Lou Need and I am your host. And today I have a specialist, an expert coming in today, Danielle Roberts. She's a Medicare insurance expert and owner of a multi-million dollar insurance agency, Boomer Benefits, a national agency specializing in Medicare-related insurance products since 2005, serving thousands of Medigap policyholders in 48 states. Boomer Benefits help baby boomers learn the ropes regarding Medicare, a nationally recognized expert in the Medicare sector of the health insurance industry. Danielle is a Medicare Supplement accredited advisor and a member of the Forbes Finance Council. She's a blogger with over 300,000 social media fans. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Lou Need, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I am so excited. I'm so thrilled. I read some of your blogs and I cannot wait for you to share with us how you got started with Boomer Benefits. Tell us about that.
Okay. So I came right out of college and was a journalism and English major. And I quickly discovered that there's absolutely no money in that field, not enough to pay back private university student loans. I think the highest offer I got was a journalism job in Dallas for $17,000 with no benefits. And if you have any listeners who've ever had to go through paying student loans, you'll know that it's very hard those first few years when you're trying to afford to live and also pay those loans. So I jumped into business and I worked for a staffing company in a district operations role for about 10 years. And that whole time, there was always a tug in my heart for entrepreneurship. I had been an entrepreneurial child, always coming up with creative ways to earn money and offer services to people in the neighborhood that would pay me a little bit and I would save up for things. And my parents are entrepreneurial spirit as well. So I had that bug and I just didn't know what field I really wanted to go into. And I stumbled into an insurance interview when a friend of mine was going to a group interview for an insurance company that was working with health insurance products. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Can you come along with me for moral support?" And I said, "Sure, I'll go check it out with you." And I walked away just feeling like, wow, this is the perfect opportunity because you can work with a product that people actually need.
Yeah.
You can start an insurance business with very little money. It's very inexpensive to take a little online class and then go pay for a licensing exam and get licensed. This is an investment that will cost you less than $500. And then there's products that you can sell in your own circle. So if you get approved for life and health insurance, all your friends and family have those kinds of policies or need those kinds of policies. So I liked the idea of being able to get into something that would be helpful to people that I could feel good about and go home and sleep well about at night. And at the same time, it was something that was very lucrative because when you sell an insurance policy, you earn a commission on that either monthly or annually for as long as that person remains on the books with you. So really great business opportunity. And when we started off doing group and individual health insurance, we quickly learned about Medicare because their people were always asking us about helping their parents. Mm-hmm. And when we started doing the Medicare products, I recognized just an enormous need. This particular industry had always been working the way that things went, would that an insurance agent would drive out to your home, sit with you at the kitchen table, spend a couple of hours explaining Medicare and going through products with you. And this to me seemed like a very antiquated way of doing business. It was screaming for a digital option and nobody was selling these products online back then. This was in 2005 before social media and all that good stuff. So I thought, let's build a website. I'm going to put this information out there for the masses. We're going to focus on education and teach people about their basic Medicare benefits so that they can understand those before we even dive into products that we sell. And it was a really bold move, but it absolutely worked for us because, you know, baby boomers, they've been working with computers since the 80s. They absolutely shop online for homeowners and auto insurance, mm-hmm. and they were ready to do the same with Medicare insurance. And so, almost 15 years later, we have over 25,000 policyholders in 48 states and about 50 employees here at Boomer Benefits.
That is impressive. Moral support.
Thank you. You're
welcome. Moral support, moral support of a friend turned out to be a multi-million dollar company.
Yeah, that's right. You just never know, right? When something's an opportunity is going to fall in your lap like that.
You were ready, and you were, I think you were, the insight you had is you were ready to help. You were ready to give back, because even with the content on your website, you were just flat out just wanted to educate. You wanted
Absolutely.
To let others know, like, hey, there's all this information out here, and here it is for free before you even thought about selling any of your products. That's the best way to give back, to actually get people to want to know more about your products.
I so agree. You know, you have to figure out what you can give before you can figure out what you can take. And you build a really good sense of a trust and authority in your niche when you're willing to take time and educate people, whether or not those people become your clients. For example, we have people all the time that come to us to learn about their basic Medicare benefits, and they have TRICARE for life through the military, or they have veterans insurance, or they have teacher retirement, and they're never going to need our help because they already have retiree coverage. So these folks are absolutely welcome in our business. We want them to learn what they need to know about their basic Medicare benefits as well. We're always happy to answer their questions. And I think that's just a good way to go about doing goodwill in your community. It's a great way to grow your brand awareness. And you never know who those people know. They might have friends and family members that don't have retiree coverage through the government or military, and might refer you when they come to your site and see just how much free content you've put out there that helps them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's a lot of Americans out there who are wondering, who are confused about Medicare, who's wondering what's going to happen when I retire, what's going to happen with my Social Security. Millennials are wondering, will that be available? Do I need to actually invest into it right now? So we'll get into that in a little bit. But I want to talk to you. You have a blog out that you talk about many Americans are wondering if Medicare for All could actually become a reality in the United States. So tell us, will Medicare for All become a reality?
Yes, I love this question. So it's going to be such an exciting election cycle. You know, healthcare was at the front of the last election cycle, but it's really going to be at the front of this one because it'll be a key issue in the presidential and congressional elections that we head into in 2020. So I think that Medicare for All will become a reality in a watered down version of what you hear. So certainly, there's a push out there for some sort of single payer option or a national option, but you have a huge and powerful insurance lobby that wants to continue playing at the health insurance table. And if you look at some of the polling out there, although Americans want better healthcare solutions and health insurance solutions, they shy away from the single payer version, and because they like to have the private insurance options through their employers, they really would rather not see them go away. So having studied some of these polls, I see a lot of people feeling much more supportive of an option that would allow more people to buy into or gain Medicare earlier than what people can get it now. Mm-hmm. And still have the option to compare that against coverage that they might get through their employer. So what I think will happen is with the Medicare for All that you see being proposed by Bernie Sanders, you know, it's a free program and it covers everything, and you'd have no copays and no deductibles. And that sounds really lovely, except that the kind of tax on the middle class that would be required to make that happen would be enormous. So I think we're more likely to see something similar to the way Medicare is now. You know, Medicare isn't free. People pay premiums for it, and they also pay deductibles, copays, and coinsurance as they use the coverage. So if we see that Medicare and Social Security are having solvency issues just for the 60 million that we cover now, imagine trying to put in place the same program, but when there was no premiums and no cost sharing for 300 million people. It's such a big leap from the type of coverage we have today. Right. So a lot of people are unaware that there's several other bills out there in play for other options related to Medicare for All. One of my favorites is one that's called Medicare at 50. Mm-hmm. So this bill would extend the option to people age 50 to 64 to buy into Medicare early. So what this would do would be to solve the uninsured problem, which is really affecting that age group, because on the Affordable Care Act plans, they are quite expensive for people that are age 50 plus. You have to get a really high deductible, and you might still be paying $1,000 a month for that coverage. And so we see a lot of these people that will go uninsured just waiting to get to Medicare age. So if we had an option for those people to buy into Medicare, which would be substantially cheaper than what they might pay for that in an Affordable Care Act policy, and do that earlier, this would not only keep the insurance companies happy because Medicare Advantage plans are run by private insurance companies and Medicare supplements are run by private insurance companies. So this would give people the option to buy into plans that are similar to Medicare Advantage plans and still be able to get that coverage for less than what we see them paying now on individual policies. So I kind of think that a lot of times politicians go to one extreme or the other, but when it comes down to actually getting in office and implementing something that doesn't upset the entire population, they're looking for ways to compromise on that or more of a watered down version. So I'd really like to see where the Medicare at 50 option goes in this next election cycle. It'll be very interesting to watch.
So you think the Affordable Act 50 and older action will actually gain momentum in 2020?
Yeah, I think so. Or one of the other options, there's one called Medicare for America. And these are all options of some type of Medicare program that isn't quite as extreme as the whole Medicare for All that is in Bernie's view. And we even see some of the other Democratic congressmen now coming out with their own versions of Medicare for All that work differently. And I think, you know, you have to appeal to the masses. And so moderation is often the key. So we're just writing for them to find the right chord that really resonates with the American people. I do think there is going to be additional healthcare reform, but I doubt that it will be to the extreme of the Medicare for All, which is going to be single payer with everything covered and no out-of-pocket expense.
The expense. Yeah. People want to save. You want to be able to save early.
Yes. Before, you want to be able to save and, you know, be prepared for those. But at the same time, people don't want to see enormous tax increases to make that happen. So they'll have to find, you know, they're going to have to really work to come together with a bill that will meet what the public wants, but at the same time won't bankrupt the system and cause huge tax increases.
Yeah. Social Security alone won't be enough to meet any income needs.
That's so right. Definitely not. Yeah.
People will need additional funds for anything that could happen, right? Any surprises. So with that in mind, what are five ways to boost savings 15 years before retirement with this Affordable Act going into play next year?
Yeah. So if you have not started saving for retirement and you're age 50 plus, or maybe you've done a little bit of retirement savings, but you know that you've got a long way to go, I always tell people the best time to start investing and saving for your future is today. It doesn't matter if you didn't do it last year or the year before. We can't change the past, but what we can change is the commitment that we make to saving for the future now. And a recent study by Fidelity came out saying that the average couple age 65 plus will need approximately $280,000 in retirement just to pay for their healthcare costs, let alone pay for mortgage and food and travel and entertainment. It's a huge amount of money. So one of my favorite ways to begin concentrating on coverage, some savings that's going to bulk up your retirement before you get to age 65 and enter Medicare, is if you have an option through your employer or through your individual policy to enroll in a high deductible health plan that gives you the option to open a health savings account. This is an awesome way to save up for those costs. The money that you put in is tax-free, so it grows interest tax-free. You get to write off that on your taxes. And also, you can use the money in this, your HSA account, to purchase qualified medical expenses with no tax. And when you turn 65, the way it is currently, you can use that money to pay for Medicare premiums, long-term care premiums, and also things like dental, vision, and hearing expenses, which Medicare doesn't cover. So if you have an opportunity to open a health savings account, that's an excellent way to be able to sock away quite a bit of money. And when you turn 55, you get a catch-up contribution. You can put in an additional $1,000 per person into that account every year. And you could really beef that up before you turn 65. So that's one of my favorite options to start saving for retirement. A second thing you should really do is automate. So if you don't have an automatic savings going on in some fashion, that's something that you need to set up, because studies show that when we don't see the money coming out of our paycheck, we don't know that it's really there, or we forget that it's there. And so if you don't have an automated savings going from either your savings account into a health savings account or your savings account into an IRA, set up something where your paycheck or your savings account is going to get hit for even $20 a month, $50 a month. Start with whatever you can and let that money be out of sight, out of mind, going to some sort of retirement investment, and let that build up over 10 to 15 years with compounding interest. And you'll be surprised at how much that can grow your money. Another thing that I really think a lot of people can consider is when you're around age 50 to 55, this is the time frame when our children are grown up and they launch their own lives. And sometimes people in this age group find themselves in a great big house and it's just the two of them. So another way to save for retirement would be to downsize. So you can look at a house that's a little bit smaller. You could move into a condo, you could move into an apartment, and by reducing the level of living space that you have, you may be able to sell that house and then take a lump sum of cash that you've got invested in that house and put it into something like an IRA or an annuity, lots of different investment vehicles. And then you have a lower monthly payment because you're not paying a bigger mortgage. If you move into something like a condo or an apartment, you may also not need a lot of things like lawnmowers and fuel for lawnmowers, because those things are taken care of for you in that type of living environment. If you don't downsize, another option you could consider would be to add a roommate, someone that rents out a back room. I myself have done this a number of times throughout my 20s, 30s, and 40s. I bought a house with a few extra bedrooms, always looked for one that had a bathroom suite, so there was sort of a double master, and I would find a roommate. You can go to roommates.com, you can ask your friends and family, and you could have someone move into one of those extra rooms that pays rent to you. And this is a great way, of course, to add a little bit of extra money to the bottom line. And then I would say the fifth one would be consider getting a side hustle. So there has never been an easier time in history to earn money on the side. And though this is, of course, all due to the internet and the digital age in which we live. So almost anyone can go online, sign up for Uber or Lyft, and drive people around in the evenings and weekends to make extra money. You can go online to sites like Rover or Wag, and you could sign up to be a pet sitter or a dog walker. You can go to tutoring sites and you can sign up to tutor kids in other countries online for English as a second language. So many great ways to earn a little bit of extra money on the side and then sock all of that money into your retirement savings so that these things work together to put you into a better position in 10 to 15 years than you are today.
The side hustle, I mean, the list goes on. That side hustle can eventually turn into a business of its own.
Yeah, it sure could. And this is super important when we see people in their 50s and 60s that get laid off unexpectedly. If you have a side hustle going, you might have that happen to you. And although nobody looks forward to something like a layoff, you would have this side thing going on the side that you could actually turn into a full-time business. You would be in less of a hurting situation if you had that going, or you might find that you love the side hustle so much that you actually retire from your regular career. So really great opportunities to check those out. We have a post on our website called 50 Ingenious Ways to Earn Money in Retirement, and it's actually one of our most heavily trafficked posts. So we know that people out there in the baby boomer and senior market are figuring this out and looking for these opportunities to save.
Yeah, and I'm glad you provide that information. There's a podcast called Side Hustle School, and the things I hear that people are coming up with, I mean, socks, they're creating, and they're just finding something they found a problem, and they solved it. And then it turns out to be something that they're good at, or they're an expert at. They're talking about something and sharing some type of information. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to add to number two, you said automate saving. I listened to Earl Nightingale and he says at least 10%. Save at least 10% of every dollar earned. And then you see that with uninterrupted compound interest, how much you will save, as you mentioned, in 10 to 15 years. It's like phenomenal.
Yes, you would be surprised. I think we run into so many people in this age group that think, well, it's too late, so I just won't save and I'll live on Social Security. And it's never too late. Any little bit that you have to help you out is going to be an enormous relief to you when you get to Social Security. The average Social Security check in America is $1,400 a month. For most people, that's not even enough to cover their mortgage. So, you know, when you're heading into retirement, another good thing to do by the time you turn 65 is to really work on paying off that mortgage. So you have that asset going into retirement, but you also don't have any rent to pay. So, you know, if you can put all these things together or just pick a few of them, you can really make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, we're living longer. So 50, 60 is still young. You're looking at 75, 80 years old. So we got ways to go. And that's a lot can be done in those 10, 15 years.
Yes.
So I myself is a millennial, and I know a lot of other millennials who are asking this question. Will Social Security be available for us when we are ready for retirement? Or should we just do our side hustles?
Yeah, I wouldn't count on it. although I don't think that Social Security will go away entirely, I don't think that by the time millennials or even some of the Gen X, which is my generation, get to 65, that we can count on that being the same amount of percentage of our income as what people are today. And about 40% of all retirees live on Social Security or rely on Social Security for the bulk of the income. And you really shouldn't, because if the average is $1,400 for someone today, and we see that the Social Security fund is, you know, facing insolvency in just a few years, you have to know that it may not be anywhere near the kind of, you know, pension, you would say, that Social Security is today. So it's really important for you to take the bull by the horns on your own retirement savings, start as early as possible. As a millennial, you have so much time on your side. And if you even just opened up an account and, like I said, put in $20 a month when you're 20 or 21, and that little bit of money going in and you slowly growing that over time will be an enormous amount of money by the time you turn 65. And you may really need it, because Social Security may not be paying out than what it is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't really put all your eggs in one basket. You got to diversify the portfolio. You got to diversify your saving and investment too.
Yes.
Really consider that at a young age and start now. I love the your call to action is do it now. Start today.
Yes, that's right. Don't worry about that you didn't save before or that you're behind. Don't compare yourself to your friends or neighbors that have $300,000 in the bank. You worry about you. Start what you do today. Make tomorrow a better day than today. Put some money in now and then track your own account, you know, month by month or year by year, seeing that adding up. And don't worry about what other people are doing or have done, because you really never know behind closed doors. They might seem like they've got a lot of money, and often people in that situation aren't in quite as good of a position. So worry about yourself, do what you can for you, and concentrate on that and see how far you can go with it.
Absolutely. Why do you feel like the insurance field is such a great industry for women?
You know, I would say that when I first got into this industry and I was talking to some of the older insurance agents who'd been doing this for a while about, I wanted to take Medicare insurance online and health insurance online and have people buy that. A lot of the people in the room back then were men, especially older men, and they kind of laughed at the idea that we could do this online. And now, you know, look at where we are today with such a successful business. And over the course of the last 14, 15 years, I really noticed more and more women coming into the industry. And it's an industry for which women, there's no limit. The sky is the limit. Every insurance agent, you can work for a company as an insurance agent, or you can open your own business as an insurance agent. You can be your own boss. You can be your own entrepreneur. And women are doing this. They're doing it successfully, and they're finding no glass ceiling either. Because a lot of times when someone is sitting down to do an insurance counseling decision, people feel comfortable with women. And a lot of times women are the insurance decision makers in today's households as well. Mm. So being a woman here in my business, I've always had an opportunity to speak to other women, and they are happy to get the information from someone that is what they view as sort of a teacher, right? You're doing a little bit of teaching about insurance products and helping people understand them. And so I think it appeals to just the natural traits that women have as helpers. But at the same time, you have every bit of opportunity as the man next to you that's also an insurance agent and selling. You really can go as far as you want to go with it.
Yeah. And you think about the dynamic in the home, the mom, the woman is the caregiver and is also worried about all the appointments and all worried about all the doctors and everyone's health.
That's right.
So it makes sense that they would do so well in this industry.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Makes perfect sense. So what are the daily habits of a successful insurance entrepreneur like yourself? Let's get into that.
Okay. So I thought this was a great question too. I love the topic of your podcast. I was always someone that would hit the gym after work. And I noticed this would be fine when I was working for someone else and I could leave on time. Yeah. But as you become an entrepreneur, those early years really eat up your time and you're your most valuable asset. So you put in 60, 70, 80 hours a week and suddenly it's impossible to leave work on time to be able to go work out. You're starving. You just want to go home and eat and go to bed. So one of the things I did several years back was to switch my workouts to the morning. So I go to a local independent gym here that runs sort of a boot camp. And I get up at 10 till 6 and I'm there for a 6:30, 45 minute high intensity interval training workout. And I do that 3 days a week. And this is a way that I can stay trim and healthy with, you know, getting in the type of exercise that my doctor recommends as I head into middle age. And making the switch was really tough for me in the beginning, because if you're used to doing it after work, it's hard to drag yourself out of bed those first few times. But now that I'm used to it, I love it, because first of all, there are less people in the morning classes, so you're not quite as crowded. And the best part is you walk out at 7:30 and you're done with your exercise mm-hmm. for the day, which is an awesome feeling. So I do that. And then another thing I also do every morning is to take my dogs for a walk. And I don't listen to any podcasts. I don't take any music with me. I literally just spend that time with them, enjoying the quiet in the neighborhood. There's a sort of a stillness that you can just stop and reflect. And I also think, being an animal lover, there's so much we can learn about the spirits of dogs and the attitudes that they have and how they always bounce back and they always live in the moment and they're always happy to see everyone. And it's a really peaceful part of my day, at least 20 minutes in the morning. And it starts me off in a good frame of mind. And then when I get back and I take a shower and I'm heading to work, then I'm putting in marketing and business podcasts. And I listen to those all the way to work. And by the time I get here, I'm pumped up. I've done a little bit of quiet time. I've gotten my exercise done. And I've also listened to inspiring marketing podcasts. And I'm ready to go and, you know, put in the effort that I need to in my business. And those couple of things have worked out really well for me.
You've consumed stimulating content in the morning. Yeah. It's perfect. You got the first 2 hours to yourself, and that's crucial to actually you having a better day, because working out in the morning is also my thing. It just releases a lot of stress from the night before, a lot of toxins. You don't wake up perfect every morning. And once the workout is done, you feel like a million bucks.
Yeah, you sure do. And I love the people too. You know, I've had a pretty social aspect to my gym. And one of my little workout partners in my group is like 70 years old and she weighs about 90 pounds. And so we have the best time working out together, because she's super cheery and always in a good mood. And I come in, I grumble that I've got to work out and do burpees. And we have so much fun together. So there's a social aspect there too. And a lot of times being an entrepreneur can be lonely, because you spend so many hours in your business. So if you've been a single entrepreneur, I was that for a number of years before I met my husband, it was also just a great way to get out and get in that little bit of social interaction with other people every day.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to connect somewhere or the other, right? I remember writing my dissertation and I was so consumed for like 6 months. And then when I got out, I just wanted to talk to everyone.
Absolutely. Yes. Because you've been buried in that project for so long.
Yeah. I love the aspect of walking your dog in silence, just that moment to actually recognize the stillness in the world around you, because the rest of the world is still sleeping when you're walking your dog.
Yeah, that's right. And if you follow Michael Hyatt at all, he's got a lot of great programs for entrepreneurs and leaders. And he advocates stillness as well, just taking 10 minutes. And, you know, and his thing is not walking dogs, but you can build that stillness in whatever way works for you and just calm your mind a little bit. And it helps you remember that there's life and there's the world going on outside of just your business.
Yes. And it is good to connect within, because that's how you will recharge. I mean, a lot of people get up and they go straight to and welcome the world in. They go to social media, they turn on the news without having that 10 minutes to actually woosah, you know, decompress and actually take the time to be grounded.
Yes.
And so absolutely. I love that you do that. Thank you so much for sharing so much information. Let's just to recap, Morning Enthusiast, Medicare for all Americans might become a reality with the healthcare proposal that is gaining momentum in 2020. We heard about the Affordable Act for over 50 and being able to buy into healthcare early. And the 5 ways to boost savings 15 years before. I really enjoyed listening to those. Healthcare savings account through your work. It's not taxed. It's a great way to start. Automated savings. So 10 to 15% of every dollar earned. And automate that so you don't see it. That it just goes automatically to your savings, and that's collecting some interest. And downsize if you have to. Get a roommate. There's Airbnb nowadays. If you can't find a permanent tenant, Airbnb is also a great way to bring some cash in. And also the side hustle. Side hustle is key. It resonates with me because I believe there's gifts and talents that everyone has and haven't been able to tap into. And if they took that 10 minutes to just look within, they might get the answer on how to maybe possibly start a side hustle. Danielle, you provide a great service. How can we connect with you?
Sure. So I have, of course, Boomer Benefits is our company website, and you can find us on social media almost anywhere at Boomer Benefits. But I also have a personal brand website where I write a lot of my entrepreneurial and money related things, and you can find that at DanielleKRoberts.com. So would be happy to connect with anybody there or on LinkedIn if they would like to.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Danielle.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.